Good morning. Welcome. It's good to be together in God's house. It's good to connect with all of you online during this live stream or even later as you join to worship with us. My name is Rockford Johnson, and it's a privilege and a joy to serve with you in this mission, this ministry, as we seek to change lives that change the world. Welcome, everyone. Remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thursday night, we have a movies and musical event hosted by our youth chapel choir, which you see up here today, led by Joshua Chisholm, our director of youth and children's music ministries. And so we hope you'll go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, or call us and find out how you can be a part of that event on Thursday evening. Movies and musicals. The ushers have passed the connection pads, and we invite you to leave us your name. If this is your first time with us, we have these welcome cards here, and online you can go to our website and connect with us and let us know that you're worshiping with us. Give us some information if you would like to do that. We're glad to receive that. I'll be at the back in the chapel, right at the back of this room, after service, and be glad to greet you there. And if you're online, as I said, just reach out to us and let us reach out to you. We'd be glad to do that. Let us know how we can pray for you. There's a button on our website, mcfarlandumc.org, the front page, and you can do that or use the cards in the pew rack here in front of you, and we are glad to add your name and your concerns and your joys to our prayer list. I want to give you a brief update about where we are with Standing on the Promises. That's our capital campaign to do necessary repairs, etc. We had a great day on Easter, of course, and before that, on Palm Sunday, it was Commitment Sunday, and many of you showed up, and many of you brought your pledges and commitments on that day. 252 persons have made commitments to secure the future of this church, and we're well over 95% toward our goal. I am confident that those other gifts, commitments are on their way, and so if we can help you in any way with that, let us know. We want to reach our goal, $6.2 million, by next Sunday, May the 1st. And so if you've yet to do so, you can go to our website and make your commitment there, or you can also take the card that's in the pew rack in front of you today, fill that out and leave it with us, or you can mail, of course, and come by. Whatever works for you, we're glad to help you with that. You know, smaller gifts are sometimes the most sacrificial gifts as well. And so we honor and respect everyone's participation. In fact, I hope that everyone will participate and realize the joy, discover the joy of being part of this effort to secure the future of this church for our next century. So next Sunday, we're hoping that that will be a big offering. That is, that's our first fruit Sunday. So the first Sunday, we're asking people to start giving what we've committed, and I want to ask you, if you could, to join me in giving 10% of your total, 3-year total, next Sunday, if that works for you. Some of you already have, and we appreciate that, but let's make this a strong start, a big start, as we start this effort to secure the future, standing on the promises together. Let's make a big demonstration together, saying our yes and our amen to the glory of God. Now, today is like Easter all over again in some ways. We have confirmations and baptisms, and we are excited about all of you who are prepared for that today and all the families who are gathered. Thank you. I want to say thanks to Austin Levirafon. Now, Austin is in the early service, and then he'll be over in this service, so we'll see him in just a bit. He's our director of student ministries and a great leader among us. So we continue our Easter series today, Return to Laughter, focusing on the joy of discovery and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Would you stand with me and sing our first hymn, 261, Lord of the Dance?
Thank you. Join me in the creed that is printed in your bulletin. We believe in God, who made us in our Creator's image. We live, we love, we laugh, because we bear likeness to the one who has created and is recreating us. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. We believe we have the last laugh on the sting of death because of the risen one. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who works within us, our counselor and guide, who motivates us to return to laughter. Forgive us, Lord, when we take ourselves too seriously, when we don't accept the joy that is ours as your children, when we forget that you will have the last laugh in this world. Restore to us the joy of our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated.
Will you please join me in a time of prayer? Gracious and holy God, what a joy it is to be in this place once again, as we have yet another opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And on this special Sunday, when we welcome in a group of confirmands, we are reminded once again of what it means to be the church, what it means to raise up the next generation of leaders, what it means to raise up a group of people that one day we will turn the keys to this building over to. We ask, O God, that you will bless them and encourage them, that you will enter into them through the power of your Holy Spirit to let them know that they have gifts and talents that the church desperately needs. We give thanks, O God, for the families who are raising their children and their teenagers up in the faith. All of the obstacles and struggles and things that stand in the way of being who it is that you're truly calling them to be, we ask, O God, that you'll give them strength. Outside these doors of this great church are people who struggle, people who are sick, people who are hurting, people who are wondering, people who are wandering. And over again, O God, we hear you say, whom shall I send? Who will go for me to take care of those people who are in need? Who will rise up out of the pews and be the church in the streets and the alleyways of this city, of this nation, and of this world? Who will stand up for what is right? Who will risk it all to follow me? And today, O God, may we be a church standing on your promises that say, here we are, here we are. We're ready to go. We're ready to be the church. We're ready to proclaim that light has once again overcome darkness. Send us, O God. Strengthen us, O God. And remind us of what it means to truly be the church. We stand on your promises, knowing that the future of this place, this little slice of the world, is in good hands because we trust you, and we will continue to raise up people who will live for you. And now, oh God, we have the opportunity, whether we're joining in this great sanctuary or whether we're online, we have the chance to join together in the amazing words that Jesus taught us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 593, Here I Am, Lord, 593.
Thank you.
We have come today with thirsty hearts, praying that God's word will satisfy. And we have come today with aching hearts, praying that God's good news will comfort us. And we come with overflowing hearts, praying that we will have the opportunity to share God's love. And so we give to God, who knows our hearts and knows our prayers, who is always with us, so that our tithes and our offerings will give nourishment for the hungry. Bread, clothing, shelter, water, but also faith, hope, and love. May it be so. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John. Our first reading is from the 7th chapter. Hear now these words. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. and from John chapter 16. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we give you our thanks and praise for these moments together. We pray that your Spirit would be at work in our thinking and our feeling as we pull our minds together around these words of Scripture, as we seek meaning and understanding. And so we give you our lives. We invite you deep into our hearts and souls and minds, that we might be nurtured and that we might find ourselves called and commissioned to be a part of changing lives that change the world. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. In just a little while, over each young person being baptized or confirmed, we will pray a prayer that is also a promise, saying, "The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born and having been born through water and the Spirit, you may be and live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ." That request and promise is valid for all of us, for each of us, for the church together. So let's explore for a few minutes what that prayer intends. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says in today's gospel reading, is very much like a flowing river in springtime, brimming and bouncing with splashes and swirls, jumping over boulders and racing toward the sea. Out of your heart, Jesus says about the Spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. Living water, Mayim Chayim, in the Hebrew scriptures that Jesus would have used, refers to water that is active and on the move. The Holy Spirit, this sacred energy of God, is like a lively river active in believers and flowing out of our hearts to touch the world. Flowing out of our hearts. Literally, the word there is belly. And since we are preaching this series called Return to Laughter, it makes me think of belly laughter. That kind of laughter that just flows out big and bold and strong, almost uncontrollable. Such rolling laughter or robust joy is released by the sudden realization that something beyond the expected or something even unexpected has happened. So it was springtime near Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and we put three canoes in the river into that brimming, bouncing Illinois River. Nine of us left our college studies and exam preparation for this Saturday excursion. 16 miles of hot sunshine and chilly water. I remember this very well because I remember the sunburn, the blisters on my shoulders and my legs as we went back to school the next week. Well, we were sailing along, telling jokes, talking, having fun. We stopped on a sandy bank and had lunch together. And then not long after lunch, the canoe in front of us, holding Randy and Pete and Mike, bumped into the bank while navigating a bend in the river. And just as it did, we saw two of them jump into the river and the other one jump up on the sides of the canoe, teetering and tottering with his oar in his hand, trying to hit something, it looked like. And we were just roaring with laughter, not knowing what was going on. A snake dropped into the canoe when they hit the bank. They didn't think it was so funny, certainly not at the moment. Later, as we told that story again and again, we all had a good laugh about it. As life unfolds, you students and all of us will encounter surprises, both happy and scary, and we will react with laughter and dancing or tears and anger and other kinds of reactions. And such, when we have such surprises, we will need to discover the truth and the meaning of what is happening, sort through our fears and desires, our hopes and our assumptions, the circumstances going on, and then make decisions that are faithful to the way of Jesus. Personal decisions, school and college decisions, eventually work and career and business and family decisions, and all along the way, decisions about what is good, true, beautiful, and in sync with the adventure of God in the world. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will guide you, will guide us to the truth and the meaning of our unfolding experience. But how? How can you know, experience, and feel that God is real and that the Spirit of God is at work in your life to help you make decisions that are faithful to living as followers of Jesus? Well, first, pay attention to your feelings. Feelings are not the only nor the most important source of knowing, but they are always with us and they happen before we can even think. So feel the nudges of the Spirit. Feelings can be an important part of knowing that God is active in your life. Of course, every feeling you have is not from God. We have to kind of sort through that. Feelings tend to be selfish, but sometimes there is that felt inkling or that prompt, that just feels real feeling, a gut feeling, a deep sense inside yourself that you are in the presence of some kind of spiritual experience, a holy moment. That feeling you want to explore. You see, the Spirit can use your feelings to gently, you know, elbow you, get your attention, make you aware, especially when unexpected things happen, scary things like a snake dropping into your canoe, but also curious and wonder-filled moments, like one that's told by Wendell Berry in his book, The Art of the Commonplace. I'm going to come down a little closer. Now, Wendell Berry is a Kentucky farmer, an essayist, a poet of some renown. He's someone who looks at the land and talks about the trees and the rivers and the animals a lot. And he gives us this story in that book, The Art of the Commonplace. He tells us that one summer evening, he was watching as a great blue heron made its descent from the top of the hill down toward the river. He said he came down in measured, deliberate pace, those big wings and that curved neck and that blue cast on his feathers. And then at a point about midway over the river, without varying his wing beat at all, he did a back loop. He did a loop-the-loop in the sky. Berry said it was like a gesture of pure joy, unexpected, like he had a sense of the evening or the day's fulfillment or his descent homeward for the night. And he made just one slow turn and glided out of sight. Berry says the movement was incredibly beautiful, at once exultant and stately, a blessing on the evening, on the river, and on him. He said it seemed so perfectly to confirm the presence of a free, non-human joy in the world, a joy, he said, that I feel a great need to believe, but, he said, I had the skeptic's impulse to doubt it. Did I see that? And if I had, I thought it would be a sign of the presence of something heavenly in the earth. A sign, he said. And then about 1 year later, he saw it again. Like that discovery of joy, that joy of discovery, seeing that blue heron do the unexplainable loop-the-loop in the sky just for the fun of it, so you will see and experience things that have some wow effect or what was that effect, that just feel like a God moment. But don't only feel it, let those be a prompt to asking questions and to an adventure of learning toward understanding. And also know this, the most reliable felt experience is intentional spiritual experience that you have had and will have with others in youth group, church choir, with your family talking about faith, in mission work, in worship, and in prayerful reading and listening to the writings in the Bible. So let me ask the question again. How can you know, experience, and feel that God is real and that the Spirit of God is at work in your life to help you make decisions that are faithful as a follower of Jesus? Second answer. In addition to feeling and intuition, use your amazing brain. Think and rethink in order to connect with the Spirit's work in your effort to make faithful decisions. Think about your experiences. Think about your snake in the canoe moments. You know, with later thought and reflection, that snake was not dangerous. The only snake that climbs trees in that part of Oklahoma is a rough green snake that bites bugs, not college guys. Think about all the stuff happening in the world, about science, about personal stuff, about everything. Think them through with reason and reflection. And remember, the Holy Spirit works within us to help us as we think and study. And to do this thinking about what God is up to in your life, in our world, it is important that you use Scripture as your primary guide, especially reading or listening to the four short biographies we call the Gospels, biographies of Jesus. The Spirit will use your reading, your listening, to open up your curiosity, to snag you with a question like, well, what does that mean? Or how does that apply to me? Or how does that apply to the world? And the Spirit will guide your understanding. While the Bible, the Word of God for us, is our primary and inspired collection of writings and witnesses to God's activity in and among people and to their feelings and experiences, we also find help from the recorded thoughts, feelings, stories, and experiences of followers of Jesus over the last 2,000 years. From scholars and pastors and faithful church people like you and like all the people gathered here today. And you can find those, of course, in books and at the library and online, of course. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can find much of that wisdom right here in the church. There is so much out there and so many different angles and interpretations that all of us need help making sense of all the information and opinions and claims about what is true. And even though I know you are intelligent and capable, you will need help discerning what is and what is not the influence of the Holy Spirit working within you. We all need that help. We all need help and guidance to sort through it all. That is why we have diligent Sunday school teachers and educated pastors and other studious teachers who spend a lot of time thinking deeply and studying the Scriptures and staying aware of developments and reading both past and present stories and teachings about experiences with God. That is why we come together as the church with regular learning, worship, and missions experiences inside and outside the church. So how can you know that the nudges, the feelings, the thoughts that occur to you are truly guidance from the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit? by checking to see if they are in sync with the message and meaning of Jesus contained in the Scripture and faithfully interpreted. The Scripture says, the Spirit will guide you, will take from what is mine and declare it to you. And it is best to do this with others because the Holy Spirit at work within you works even more clearly and more intently in shared experience. So don't go it totally alone. Thinking with the Spirit should never be just a private experience. It includes the thinking and reasoning of others, both the wisdom of the past and the continual guidance of the Spirit as new challenges and opportunities emerge. So you might ask, well, why does cooperation with the Holy Spirit to both know and follow the way of Jesus, why does it matter in your life and in our world? It matters because God's greatest desire is that we love God with all our self and all our stuff and that we love others as much as we love ourselves. It matters because people matter to God, every person, and many persons find themselves in trouble or terror or peril. It matters because when you follow the way of Jesus, your life can always be changing for the better. It matters because as part of the church, you are called to cooperate with God's Jesus-defined mission to bring real change to the world. You can feed hungry people. You can make a difference. It matters because being a baptized, confirmed follower of Jesus is much more than a ticket to heaven. It is a lifetime of letting the influence of God's Spirit, God's love and wisdom, flow out of you like a rolling river of life-giving water. It matters because God wants you to discover the joy of bringing joy to others. Now, at some point, in spite of your vows today, you likely will be tempted to leave church behind because others don't church or because you don't agree with everything or you feel too busy or other reasons. And I want you to know this. The church will be here. And every day, the Holy Spirit, that whispering voice, will be at work in your life, urging you back to church, back to active faith, back to family and friends in the faith. We will be here for you. And now finally, remember this. Remember this. The most true thing about you is that you are God's beloved. You are God's well-loved child. Jesus said, I call you friends. Believe that. Discover the joy of that. Today, God claims you and you claim God in Christ as your personal controlling center of faith. Today, in this highly important and memorable act of God's grace and your act of faith, you are welcoming the lifelong activity of the Spirit of God into your life in a very intentional way so that you can live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Today is not the end. It's not the end of learning and living with God. Today is more enrollment than it is graduation. Today you walk through an open door into a life of faithfulness. Today is the holy and joyful beginning of your lifelong adventure of discovery with the Spirit of Jesus active in your life. So the Holy Spirit will work within you all the time, everywhere, sometimes convicting you of wrongs that need to be made right, always convincing you again and again that you are God's beloved child. The Holy Spirit, in a particular way, will work within you, with others in this church, God's holy, special place, will work within you in this church, a place where you can always belong believe, and be active. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is alive and working among us. Today, with the students who come, we're glad to embrace and open ourselves to that powerful, working Spirit, so that we all might be and become and keep becoming faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. As we move into these holy moments, pour out your Spirit upon your congregation, upon all of us. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. I want to invite those who are to be baptized and confirmed to come and stand facing the congregation. As they come, I want to say thank you to parents and families and sponsors. Thank you for your diligence in supporting these students in confirmation class leading to baptism and confirmation. We appreciate you. We love you. We love all of you. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
On behalf of the congregation, I present the confirmation class of 2022 for confirmation and baptism.
I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, in a loud voice, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church and which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, say, I will. Congregation, Austin, all those who are sponsoring these students today, will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? If so, say, I will. Do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
On page 36 in your hymnal, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And now let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Old and New Testaments, and we will join in the affirmation that is printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Congregation, we're at page 36, Thanksgiving over the water. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare Christ's works to the nations, his glory among all the peoples. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Invite the first candidate to be baptized to come. Drew, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in the laying on of hands. Drew, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, that you may live as a faithful disciple. Amen.
True, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we join in laying hands on, true, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be and live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in laying on of hands. Key, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be and may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Olivia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's lay hands on. Olivia, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be and live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Asher, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in laying on of hands. Asher, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be and live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's yours to keep.
Reston, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us lay hands on. Reston, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be and live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Luke, we invite you to touch the water, take a stone if you'd like to. Remember your baptism. Remember that you were baptized and be thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Luke, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Lauren, as you touch the water and take a stone, I invite you to remember your baptism and to be thankful. And let us lay our hands on. Lauren, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you may live as a disciple of Jesus Christ all of your life. Amen.
Mackenzie, we invite you to touch the water and take a stone, remembering your baptism and being thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Mackenzie, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hayden, as you touch the water and take a stone, I would invite you to remember your baptism and to be thankful. And let us lay hands on. Hayden, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Landon, we invite you to touch the water and take a stone, remembering your baptism. Remember that you were baptized and be thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Landon, having been born through water and the Spirit, may the Holy Spirit work within you that you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Everett, remember your baptism and be thankful. And let us lay hands on Everett, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Henry, we invite you to touch the water, take a stone, remembering that you were baptized, and be thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Henry, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Luke, I invite you to touch the water and to take a stone to remember your baptism and to be thankful. And let us lay hands on. Luke, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ashton, as you touch the water and take this down, remember your baptism. Remember that you were baptized and be thankful. Let us lay on hands. Ashlyn, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Aiden, if I invite you to touch the water and to take a stone to remember your baptism and to be thankful, let us lay hands on. Aiden, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Jackson, we invite you to touch the water to remember that you are baptized and be thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Jackson, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Scarlett, I invite you to touch the water, to take a stone, to remember your baptism, and to be thankful. And lay hands on. Scarlett, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. we invite you to touch the water, Trenum. Remember your baptism. Remember that you've been baptized, and be thankful. Join me in the laying on of hands. Trenum, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Congregation, we invite you to find page 38 and to be ready when we call upon you. So those of you who've been baptized and confirmed today, I ask you this. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, again with a loud voice, say, I will. And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Congregation, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. We invite you to be seated and to find your hymnals. We're going to sing this great hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Shall we say welcome and thank you to these new members of our congregation.
Please stand and join us in hymn 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of Light.
Thank you.
And now, especially on this day, may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you all of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit who works within you. May it be so. Amen.